RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News and News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. The focus of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister working visit is to the Middle East. Indonesian government and national police conduct emergency training for officials. The number of smokers in Indonesia reaches 60 million people. And now the news in detail. The Indonesian government is targeting investments in several Middle East countries. It is one of focuses of the five-day working visit of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi to four countries in the Middle East such as Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi, in a media briefing in Jakarta on Sunday, May 31st night, said the focus of her working visit to four countries in the Middle East, besides discussing about migrant workers, it will also discuss their economic potential in infrastructure development projects in Indonesia. When talking about the Middle East, people will certainly think that it must be related to the migrant worker affairs. Now, we want beyond that, beyond the migrant worker affairs that we are still working on. There is economic potential that we do not explore yet. The four countries I have visited are the countries which have big investment potential, but so far the investment are still focused on portfolio. So we are trying to attract their interest in investment in infrastructure development projects. Furthermore, Retno LP Marsudi explained, besides discussing migrant workers and investment opportunities in Indonesia, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister also discussed about irregular migrants in Southeast Asia and the commitment of the four Middle East countries to provide their assistance and to cooperate with the Indonesian government. For example, the government of the United Arab Emirates has committed to providing humanitarian assistance to the Rohingya refugees at least $50 million. The first country that was visited by Retno LP Marsudi during her working visit was Saudi Arabia. In the petrodollar country, the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister met with the Foreign Minister of Saudi Arabia, Adel bin Ahmed Al Jubeir, and King Salman Abdul Aziz Al Saudi to discuss bilateral relations of the two countries. Retno LP Marsudi became Minister of Foreign Affairs and the first woman to be accepted by the Saudi Arabian King in the last 15 years. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry has joined hands with the National Police to conduct a training for officials stationed overseas to improve the ways in which various emergency situations involving Indonesian nationals are handled. 27 high-level officials from the Indonesian military, TNI, the Agency for the Placement and Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers, or BMP2TKI, and Consortium of Indonesian Migrant Workers Advocacy, received training on dealing with potential human trafficking victims. It was said by the Ministry's Director for the Protection of Indonesian Citizens, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal. He said on Sunday in Jakarta, in addition to instructions on how to successfully identify and provide protection to human trafficking victims, the participants were also given basic forensic training from the National Police's DVI, or Disaster Victim Identification Unit. The exercise was staged in response to the increasing number of human trafficking cases involving Indonesian citizens, he added, and was first conducted by the Foreign Ministry last year with the support of the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, or UNODC, the International Labour Organization, ILO, and the International Organization for Migration, or IOM. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry said that the government expected that investment in oil and natural gas sector in the next 5 years would reach 1,800 trillion rupiah. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said said that those investments would be dominated by productive sectors. He said in a press release on Sunday. However, Sudirman has yet to reveal the value of investment agreements that have been signed during his early period of his administration. According to Sudirman, the ministry is still addressing bureaucracies and managerial issues. Previously, the government claimed that it could attract investors to make investment worth up to 1,200 trillion rupiah in the upstream sectors. In the downstream sector, it is targeted to reach 600 trillion rupiah. As the first step, he said that the ministry had transferred 41 permits to a one-door investment permit service provided by the Investment Coordinating Board, or BKPM, and this measure is deemed to be able to address investment permit issues that worsened investment climate in the oil and gas sector. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya said that the government would boost economic growth of people living near forests. She said that the move is in line with the Nawacita, or 9 priority programs, that was initiated by President Joko Widodo. Besides, Siti said that in Indonesia, there are 35,000 villages located near forests and there are around 40 million people living in those villages. Unfortunately, she added, 10 million of them are categorized as poor people. She added several programs that are being considered by the government, among others the Social Forestry Program and the Marginal Group Rescue Program. She went on to say that the government would boost infrastructures by always taking into account the sustainability of natural resources. In the meantime, Chairman of YUMA, or a non-governmental institution, Khalid Muhammad said that the government's paradigm about economic growth must be changed first. According to Khalid, previously corporates were considered as the main supporter of economic growth. Now, however, those living near forests must begin to be considered as those supporting the growth. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama hinted that he would run for Jakarta Governor election race in 2017. He also said that he has two choices, namely running as an independent candidate or being nominated by a political party. However, Basuki realized that his struggle as an independent candidate would not be easy, as he has to collect 1 million copies of Jakarta Residential Identity Card, or KP, as a proof of support. He also said that he would not bother collecting the copies. Basuki also said that he is still considering the option of being nominated by a political party and said that he would not rush accepting offer from the National Democratic Party, which has expressed its support to nominate him as Jakarta governor. Previously, chairman of the National Democratic Fraction at the Jakarta Regional Council, Bestari Baru, said that his party would support Basuki if he runs for the governor election in 2017. However, he said that Basuki has to meet several criteria if he wants to get support from the party. As one of cigarettes manufacturers in the world, the efforts to control tobacco consumption among the people are main problems faced by Indonesia. Head of Health Research and Development, Indonesian Health Ministry, Chandra Yoga Aditama, recently in Jakarta said the number of smokers in Indonesia continues to increase from year to year. He said, based on the research, the number of active smokers in Indonesia in 2014 reached 60 million people.
Secara keseluruhan, Itu sekitar 60% pria Indonesia itu merokok.
In general, 60% of Indonesian men are smokers and less than 5% of Indonesian women are smokers. Altogether, male and female, around 30% of the Indonesian adult population are smokers. If we have 200 million people, then 30% of 200 million people or 60 million Indonesians are active smokers.
200 juta itu bisa lebih dari 60 juta orang yang saat ini menjadi perokok aktif di Indonesia.
Chandra further said that more than 600 million cigarettes are smoked in Indonesia every day. In addition to active smokers, according to Chandra, there are millions of passive smokers in Indonesia. They are adults and children who do not smoke but receive harmful effects of cigarette smoke because of the smoke around them. There are more than 40 million passive smoking children in Indonesia. Chandra stated the Ministry of Health has 7 programs to control cigarette consumption in Indonesia. The programs are health education to public and pictorial health warnings. In Indonesia, since June 24, 2014, all cigarette packets must contain one of the 5 option pictorial health warnings. The Health Ministry also encourages the establishment of no smoking areas to ensure that people can breathe healthy, clean air and free from tobacco smoke. And the last item, Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said said that the government is upbeat that in the next 5 years or in 2020, Indonesia will reach 100% electrification. He said in Jakarta on Sunday, despite such optimism, Sudirman admitted that it would be difficult for the government to provide electricity for remote areas that were impossible to reach. Therefore, he said the government would provide solar-powered lights for people in hard-to-reach areas. He added the lamps will be charged in daytime so they can be used in the evening, allowing children, for instance, to study at night. He further said the government would push investors to invest in the energy sector, and it was targeted that investment values in the sector would reach 4 quadrillion rupiah, or about $304 billion, in the next 5 years. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. The focus of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister working visit is to the Middle East. Indonesian government and national police conduct emergency training for officials. The number of smokers in Indonesia reaches 60 million people. And listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Observing Pancasila Day. Every year on June the 1st, Indonesia commemorates the birth of Pancasila, the national philosophy. Looking back 70 years ago, on June the 1st, 1945, Sukarno, one of Indonesia's founding fathers, in the assembly of the Investigating Committee for the Preparation of Indonesian Independence, presented the idea as the basis of the newborn republic. In his speech, he said, "I call this, with the help of a linguist, Pancasila. Sila means basic principles, and on these 5 bases, we set up the Indonesian state, which is eternal and immortal." Pancasila consists of 2 old Javanese words originally from Sanskrit. Panca, meaning 5, and sila, meaning principles. It comprises 5 principles held to be inseparable and interrelated, set out in the preamble to the Constitution of 1945. The following is the Pancasila. The first, 1. Believe in the one and only God. 2. Just and civilized humanity. 3. The unity of Indonesia. 4. Democracy guided by the inner wisdom in the unanimity arising out of deliberations among representatives. And the 5th, social justice for all of the people of Indonesia. Historically, Pancasila then have several functions. Among others, as a way of life, the spirit and the purpose of the Indonesian nation. Each precept of Pancasila has a meaning. All are inseparable and interrelated. Several decades ago, Pancasila became one of materials that must be understood and internalized by freshman students in universities. For more than 1 week, they were obliged to follow a course on Pancasila implementation guidelines. The program was organized with the objective to make the students better understand the meaning of Pancasila and to live and practice the meaning of each precept. Unfortunately, lately, Pancasila is often remembered only ahead of the anniversary of its birth. Many people are concerned that the values contained in each precept have now been far from the life of the Indonesian people. Governor of the National Resilience Institute, or Lemhanas, Budi Susilo Supanji, said, "Pancasila seemed to be getting away from the public life. The spirit of mutual cooperation is no longer a feature of the community life. Indeed, Indonesian people must not be distant from Pancasila. Deep understanding of Pancasila, of course, will be followed by practicing it in the life of the nation. By understanding the precept of believing in the Almighty God, we'll create a religious society. That just and civilized humanity precept implies that advanced human civilization certainly easier to accept the truth with sincerity. There will be no never-ending dispute or discord among the people, because every Indonesian understands the value of the Indonesian unity. There will be no decision taken unilaterally, causing dissatisfaction among other parties because of the practice of the fourth principle of Pancasila, democracy guided by inner wisdom in the unanimity arising out of deliberations amongst representatives. And the realization of social justice must be the desire of all the people in Indonesia. Pancasila should not only be talked about when commemorating its birthday on June the 1st, because this state philosophy is not enough to be remembered. It should be understood and applied in the life of the Indonesian nation. The government, through the Ministry of Education and Culture, and also the Ministry of Research and Technology and the Higher Education, should apply the teaching and education of Pancasila in every level of education, so that the future generations understand the significance of Pancasila. People are expected to not only able to memorize Pancasila, but can practice it in their everyday life as well. History records that Pancasila has brought the Indonesian nation through various problems and to be strong on its diversity. Even the US President Obama, when giving a general lecture at the University of Indonesia in 2010, said that Pancasila, as the way of life of the Indonesian nation, has values of democracy, unity, and tolerance. The Indonesian spirit is an important message contained in Pancasila. That was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on June the 1st, which is commemorated as International Children's Day. Children's Day is recognized on various days in many places around the world to honor children globally. It was first proclaimed by the World Conference for the Well-Being of Children in 1925 and then established universally in 1954 to protect an appropriate day. International Day for Protection of Children is observed in many countries as Children's Day on June the 1st since 1950, which was established by the Women's International Democratic Federation on its Congress in Moscow on November 22, 1949. Major global variants include a Universal Children's Day on November 20th by United Nations recommendation. The next event was in 1945 when Pancasila, the five pillars of Indonesian state ideology, was born. In 1945, facing the need to pull together the diverse archipelago, the future President Sukarno promulgated Pancasila as philosophical foundation of the Indonesian state. Sukarno's political philosophy was mainly a fusion of elements of socialism, nationalism, and monotheism. This is reflected in a proposition of his version of Pancasila he presented on June 1, 1945 to the Investigating Committee for the Preparation of Independence or Badan Penyelidik Usaha Persiapan Kemerdekaan Indonesia or BPUPKI in a speech known as the Birth of the Pancasila. After several meetings, the five principles or sila proposed by Sukarno were rearranged. The fifth sila concerning religiosity was promoted to become the first sila. Internationalism, justice, and humanity remain as parts of the second principles. The previously first principle about nationalism became the third principle about Indonesian unity. The third and fourth principle about democracy and social welfare become the fourth and fifth principles. Pancasila was thus intended to help solve the conflicting priorities among Muslims, nationalists, and Christians. The 1945 Constitution of Indonesia then set forth Pancasila as the embodiment of basic principles of an independent Indonesian state. And the last event was in 2003 when the People's Republic of China began filling the reservoir behind the Three Gorges Dam. Three Gorges Dam project is the short term for the water control project on Yangtze River. It is located in the middle section of Siling Gorge near Sandaoping Town in Yichang City, Hubei Province. Being the world's largest hydropower project, this dam has created many firsts, such as the most efficient dam in flood control, the most difficult construction work, and the largest migration project in the world. The dam project is composed of the dam, the hydropower stations, and the navigation facility. The first stage took 5 years, from 1992 to 1997. During this period, the cofferdam construction and the excavation of a diversion channel in the first stage were finished. Meanwhile, a temporary ship lock on the left bank of the river and some preparation work was also completed. The second stage lasted 6 years, from 1998 to 2003, when the cofferdam construction was in its second stage and was undertaken at the same time as the construction of the permanent ship lock and the navigation buildings. The power station facilities construction and the installation of machinery on the left bank were also completed. The third stage of the project began in 2003 and has been completed in 2009. During this period, the installation of all machinery, the construction of the power station and the dam on the right bank are finished. Now, a 3,861 square miles canyon reservoir dam is presented to the world. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on stop illegal circulation of tobacco products. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Every May the 31st is celebrated as the World No Tobacco Day. The United Nations World Health Organization, WHO, has dedicated World No Tobacco Day in 2015 to fight the illicit tobacco trade. One out of every 10 cigarettes consumed is illegal, making cigarettes more affordable and more accessible to people of lower income groups as well as children. For that reason, in commemoration of World No Tobacco Day 2015, the WHO wants the world community to combat the illegal tobacco trade. In line with the WHO, according to the Agency for Research and Health, Ministry of Health of Indonesia, in 2013, 36.3% of Indonesia's population are active smokers. Chairman of Tobacco Control Unit, Center for Economic Studies and Health Policy, University of Indonesia, Professor Dr. Hasbullah Tabrani, to RRI World Service in Jakarta, urged the government to raise the price of cigarettes to 30,000 rupiah per packet. According to Hasbullah Tabrani, Indonesia not only has a high number of active smokers, but passive smokers, which has reached 200 million people, or about 90% of the Indonesian population.
Yang lebih berbahaya lagi karena agresivitas.
What is more dangerous because of aggressive advertising of cigarettes and the carelessness of the government in protecting its people. About 200 million young people ranging from elementary to high school are now starting to smoke. It is more dangerous because the price of cigarettes is too low. It could be sold by piece anyway. Therefore, I urge the government really to raise cigarette prices to 30,000 rupiah in the next 5 years, because of what if we see in the last 5 years, efforts to explain that cigarettes are dangerous, cigarettes kill, it's been running. But if we look at cigarette sales, they continue to increase. Now cigarettes production in Indonesia is 340 billion cigarettes per year. Professor Hasbullah Tabrani added various countries in the region such as Singapore, Thailand, and Malaysia have proved successful in reducing the number of smokers by raising the price of cigarettes, while Indonesia is the country with the lowest taxes and cigarette prices in the region. Meanwhile, on different occasions, Representative WHO Indonesia Farouk Quraishi to RRI World Service in Jakarta on Saturday said that 2015 is a good time to remind the government about the distribution of black market tobacco.
This year, while we consider this as an important time to remind the governments of their actions needed to control tobacco, we specifically also in 2015 have been trying to inform the governments that one of the major concerns that globally is the illicit market of the tobacco.
According to Farouk Quraishi, the government must control the circulation of tobacco because every 10 cigarettes that circulate around the world, one of which came from the black market tobacco. In addition, he also regretted that many governments do not raise the price of cigarette, it even below the standard price of the world, so many children were able to buy cigarettes. Meanwhile, the WHO warned that tobacco, which caused 100 million deaths in the 20th century, could cause 1 billion deaths in the 21st century if current trends continue. One of the main goals of the anti-tobacco campaign in 2015 is to advocate for ratification and applying the protocol to eliminate illicit trade in tobacco products by the government, which is an additional agreement on the Framework Convention of Tobacco Control of WHO. Well, that was focus of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Stop Illegal Tobacco Product Circulation.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Tuesday, June the 1st, 2015. Compass Daily, in its headline, writes about Pancasila is still a rhetoric. Pancasila, which was initiated by the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, is still limited to a rhetoric that warmly discussed ahead of the birth of Pancasila on June the 1st. Very strategic steps need to be done for the implementation of Pancasila values in the life of the nation. That was the opinion of a number of the nation ahead of the anniversary of Pancasila Day, which falls on Monday, centered in the square of Blitar, East Java. Blitar is the place where Sukarno was buried. Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Zulkifli Hasan said, "A comprehension of national values should continue to be made despite having to take 10 years or more." Next, Tempo Daily, in its headline, writes about Criminal Investigation Division, Bareskrim, summons a number of BUMN officials. The Criminal Investigation Division, Bareskrim, Indonesian Police will summon a number of high officials and former officials of the state-owned enterprises, BUMN. They will be interrogated as witness related to an indication of state losses in rice printed program in Ketapang Regency, West Kalimantan, amounting of more than 200 billion rupiah. Head of Police Bareskrim, Commissioner General Budi Waseso, plans to summon former state-owned enterprises BUMN Minister Dahlan Iskan. Dahlan would be questioned as the Minister of BUMN when the Community Development Program implemented in 2012 to 2014. Physically, the activity did not exist. According to Budi, the Rice Printed Program is one of the 23 community development programs which was funded by Corporate Social Responsibility CSR budget of a number of the state-owned enterprises. Media Indonesia writes competitions revolve after Lebaran. Post-FIFA sanctions against PSSI, the Ministry of Youth and Sport responded by concrete steps in order to national soccer will no longer isolated in the international community. In addition to holding the PSSI Congress soon, in the near future will be held competitions, both amateur and professional. Deputy 5 of Harmonization and Partnership, Ministry of Youth and Sport, Gatot Dewabroto said, the competition was not solely related to the technical football, but also about the social, economic aspects and dimensions of accompanying dynamics of the public good. According to the special staff of the Minister of Youth and Sport, M. Hussein Yusuf, a competition which is scheduled to be held after Idul Fitri will be the first step before the transition team held an advanced competition as pre-season and championship event next year. The league competition was planned to be adapted to the AFC calendar started in January and ends in October. And we conclude today's headline by seeing Business Indonesia's headlines about two ministers are different in opinion. Indonesian Minister of Agrarian and Spatial Planning, Head of National Land Agency, and the Ministry of Finance have different opinions related to the discourse of granting permission to foreign citizens to own property in Indonesia. On the one hand, the Minister of Agrarian and Spatial Planning, Head of the National Land Agency, Ferry Mursidan Baldan, asserted he will not give permission to foreign citizens to own property, except in the form of utilization rights. Listener, that was headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. The Indonesian government is targeting investment in several Middle East countries. It is one of the focuses of the five-day working visit of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister. Retno LP Marsudi to four countries in the Middle East such as Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates and Kuwait. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry has joined hands with the National Police to conduct a training for officials stationed overseas to improve the ways in which various emergency situations involving Indonesian nationals are handled. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry said that the government expected that investment in oil and natural gas sector in the next 5 years would reach 1,800 trillion rupiah. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said said that those investments would be dominated by productive sectors. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya said that the government would boost economic growth of people living near forests. She said that the move is in line with the Nawacita or 9 priority programs that was initiated by President Joko Widodo. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama hinted that he would run for Jakarta Governor election race in 2017. As one of the cigarette manufacturers in the world, the efforts to control tobacco consumption among the people are main problems faced by Indonesia. Head of Health Research and Development, Indonesian Health Ministry, Chandra Yoga Aditama, recently in Jakarta said the number of smokers in Indonesia continues to increase from year to year. And the last item, Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said said the government is upbeat that in the next 5 years or in 2020, Indonesia will reach 100% electrification.
And listener, that was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In conjunction with the birth of Pancasila, the five basic principles of Indonesia state ideology, which falls today, June the 1st, in today's edition, I'll introduce you to the Gedung Pancasila or Pancasila Building in Jakarta. Stay tuned. Listener, Pancasila is the official philosophical foundation of the Indonesian state. Pancasila consists of two old Javanese words, originally from Sanskrit. Panca, meaning five, and sila, meaning principles. Initial concept and formulation of the Pancasila was first proposed by Sukarno, the first president of Indonesia in the meeting of the Dokuretsu Junbi Chosakai, or the Investigating Committee for the Preparation of Independence, on June 1, 1945. Because of that, June the 1st is commemorated as the birth of Pancasila. So this edition, we will invite you to go down the historical step of the birth of Pancasila by introducing historical evidence which is still stands until now, namely the Gedung Pancasila on Jalan Pejambon 6, Jakarta. It is unknown when the white color building, which used to be the Volkskrant or representative building or Gedung Perwakilan Rakyat of the Dutch East Indies, was built. But some Dutch literature mentioned that this building stood in 1830 and was designed by engineer J. Tromp. Previously, this building was built as a house of commander of the armed forces of the Netherlands kingdoms in the Dutch East Indies, who was also Lieutenant Governor General, namely Duke Bernhard in 1792 until 1862. In the Japanese colonial period, Volkskrant building was reused as a meeting place of consideration agency or Chosangi Inn, which was built by Japan, so that the name of the building was known as Chosangi Inn building. When Japan defeated the Pacific War, they finally made Dokuretsu Junbi Chosakai, or the Investigating Committee for the Preparation of Indonesian Independence, or BPUPKI. The committee used Volkskrant building as a place where they held meetings. It was at this building that Pancasila was born. Because the initial concept of Pancasila, the five basic principles of Indonesia, was born at this building, so this building was known as Gedung Pancasila or Pancasila Building. Gedung Pancasila has classicism, empire, and Doric architecture. Luxurious and also simplicity implies that this building is for important purposes only. Gedung Pancasila has rectangular shape facing northwest. While on the front, there are 8 poles supporting the roof that serves as a part of terrace. There are 3 entrance gates to the main room. On both sides of the entrance, there are 2 truss cannons. Above the door, there is a panel garnished pergola. The building has white marble floors and has several rooms, among others, building space, administrative waiting room, gentleman room, ladies room, library, banquet waiting room, and space agreement. The front page of Gedung Pancasila has a small area as a place where the flag is hoisted on the top of the pole. Behind the pillar, there is olive tree, which was a gift from the Prince of Arab when visiting Indonesia. The olive seeds were given as a form of appreciation to the heroes who have fought for the independence of Indonesia. Listener, after proclamation of the independence of Indonesia, Gedung Pancasila is used as a place of special session to legalize constitution and to choose a president and vice president. During 1945 until 1949, this building has functioned as a place of committee sessions of Indonesia, and in 1956, it was used as a foreign affairs ministry office until now. There has been a striking change of the building since it was built until now. Although this building is not open for tourists and the public, observing the building from the front side is an interesting experience for them. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring the Gedung Pancasila in Jakarta. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting places to visit. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Surat Izin Sakit dari Dokter, or in English means Medical Leave Letter from Doctor. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expression that related to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me.
Surat izin sakit. Surat izin sakit, which means medical leave letter. Sakit. Sakit, which means sick. Membantu. Membantu, which means to help. Besok. Besok, which means tomorrow. Masuk kantor. Masuk kantor, which means sign work. Memberi. Memberi, which means to give. Dokter. Dokter, which means doctor. Bagian sumber daya manusia. Bagian sumber daya manusia, which means human resources division. Alergi. Alergi, which means allergy. Kambuh. Kambuh, which means recurrence. Batuk. Batuk, which means cough. Pilek. Pilek, which means flu. Asma. Asma, which means asthma. Tadi malam. Tadi malam, which means last night. Unit gawat darurat. Unit gawat darurat, which means emergency unit. Klinik. Klinik, which means clinic. Renovasi. Renovasi, which means renovation. Debu. Debu, which means dust. Suntikan. Suntikan, which means injection. Terapi. Terapi, which means therapy. Oksigen. Oksigen, which mean oxygen. Obat. Obat, which means medicine. Istirahat. Istirahat, which means rest. Tiga hari. Tiga hari, which means 3 days. Sebelum. Sebelum, which means before. Sembuh. Sembuh, which means get well.
Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Surat Izin Sakit Dari Dokter, or in English means medical leave letter from doctor. The conversation is between Fikran A and B, Nita.
Halo Nita, apakah kamu bisa membantu saya? Halo Nita, apakah kamu bisa membantu saya? Which means, hello Nita, can you help me? Besok saya tidak masuk kantor. Besok saya tidak bisa masuk kantor. Which means, tomorrow I cannot sign to work. Saya sakit. Saya sakit. Which means, I'm sick. Apakah kamu bisa memberikan surat dokter ke bagian sumber daya manusia? Apakah kamu bisa memberikan surat dokter ke bagian sumber daya manusia? Which means, could you give my medical letter to human resources division?
Tentu saja bisa. Tentu saja bisa. Which means, yes, of course. Kamu sakit apa? Kamu sakit apa? Which means, what's wrong with you?
Alergi dan asma saya kambuh. Alergi dan asma saya kambuh. Which means, my long illness allergy and asthma recurrence. Saya juga batuk dan pilek. Saya juga batuk dan pilek. Which means, I also cough and cold. Tadi malam, saya dibawa ke unit gawat darurat di klinik asma dan alergi. Tadi malam, saya dibawa ke unit gawat darurat di klinik asma dan alergi. Which means, last night, I was taken to the emergency unit of asthma and allergy clinic.
Mengapa alergi kamu kambuh lagi? Mengapa alergi kamu kambuh lagi? Which means, why should your lung allergy recurrence? Apakah kamu salah makan? Apakah kamu salah makan? Which means, have you eat dietary restriction?
Tidak. Ini karena kantor saya sedang direnovasi. Tidak. Ini karena kantor saya sedang direnovasi. Which means, no, my office is renovated. Debu membuat alergi saya kambuh. Debu membuat alergi saya kambuh. Which means, the dust triggering my allergy recurrence. Dokter memberi saya suntikan, terapi oksigen, dan juga obat. Dokter memberi saya suntikan, terapi oksigen, dan juga obat. Which means, the doctor provide me injection, oxygen therapy, and some medicines. Selain itu, dokter menyuruh saya istirahat di rumah selama 3 hari. Selain itu, dokter menyuruh saya istirahat di rumah selama 3 hari. Which means, the doctor also recommend me to take a rest at home for 3 days.
Baiklah, sebelum ke kantor, saya mampir ke rumah kamu mengambil surat keterangan sakit dari dokter. Baiklah, sebelum ke kantor, saya mampir ke rumah kamu mengambil surat keterangan sakit dari dokter. Which means, all right, I take the medical leave letter at your home before I go to the office. Nanti, saya serahkan surat itu ke bagian sumber daya manusia. Nanti, saya serahkan surat itu ke bagian sumber daya manusia. Which means, I will give it to the human resources division. Semoga kamu cepat sembuh. Semoga kamu cepat sembuh. Which means, get well soon.
Baiklah, terima kasih. Baiklah, terima kasih. Which means, okay, Thank you.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and
sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, meet again with me, Dr. Pani, in our regular Music Corner, a segment which introduces you to both traditional and modern Indonesian music. In this edition, I present you an Indonesian male singer, Sam Simon. Well, listener, let's listen to a keroncong song sung by Sam Simon, entitled Pujaan Kalbu.
Hati rasa puas melihat wajahmu nan rupawan mengikat asmara pengharapan hidupku. Dengan tingkah laku kesederhanaan yang kau pakai menambah kuatnya pengharapan suci. Budi bahasamu sangatlah halus dan berisi, dapat meneguhkan asmara nan suci. Hati rasa puas sampai hari akhir akan tetap menjadi kenangan pujaan kalbuku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.